WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. In its day, the Lovin' Spoonful churned out a number of hits that weren't quite folk and not quite rock and roll. Rock historian Ed Ward has this look at the band and the McDougal street scene that inspired it.
In 1965, Bob Dylan shocked New York's snobbish folk music community by releasing an album called Bringing It All Back Home, which featured electric instrumentation. Of course, nobody who knew him was shocked. He'd tried electric stuff since the beginning on unreleased sessions, and his previous album, Another Side of Bob Dylan, sounded like a rock and roll album with the backing tracks left off of it. But scattered around Greenwich Village were a few musicians who knew deep in their hearts that they weren't Appalachian ballad singers, not really, and that their careers owed as much to Chuck Berry as to Roscoe Holcomb. You could find them playing in pickup bands at places like the Night Owl or the Café Hua, places where the cool people would never find them. Some of them decided they liked it, too, and decided to try for the big time.
I've been listening to my radio for 2 or 3 years. Come over from Mercy River, let us think back till then. So let's put on the shoes and think about the blues and start all over again with that good time music like we played so long ago. Whoa, don't you know, oh yeah, with that good time music. Yes, it's back on the radio.
Elektra Records was New York's top folk label, and they didn't really know if they wanted to get involved in this new stuff. They did, however, spring for a band that called itself the Lovin' Spoonful to make a 4-song demo tape, part of which we've just heard. The Lovin' Spoonful was led by John Sebastian, who had impeccable folky credentials and was the son of a famous harmonica virtuoso. Good Time Music was just about the band's credo. They felt it was time to take American music back from Tin Pan Alley, invest it with the do-it-yourself feeling the folkies had and the reverence for the classics the British had, and make rock and roll special again.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic if the music is groovy and makes you feel happy like an old-time movie. I'll tell you about the magic and the free.
Elektra Records dragged its feet, and the band was snatched up by Kama Sutra, a new company that thought it had just bought the American Beatles and was rewarded by the band's very first single, Do You Believe in Magic, heading straight into the top 10. For the New York hipsters, this was perfect. Just as the Beatles had come from Liverpool's Matthew Street club scene, so the Spoonful was from the McDougal Street folk scene. They'd even had their picture taken in front of the famous Tim Hardin is a Bad Boy graffiti in Minetta Lane. And over the next year, they managed no fewer than 8 top 10 hits. But no less importantly, they continued to proselytize for the kind of music they liked, be it traditional or written by their fellow village folkies.
Would you like to know a secret just between you and me? I don't know where I'm going next, don't know where I'm gonna be. And there's another side to this life.
Spoonful's success inspired others. Cass Elliott and Denny Doherty had been in a band with Sebastian and Spoonful guitarist Zal Yanofsky, and they went on to become half of the Mamas and Papas. Henry St. Clair Fredericks, a black guitarist who'd played the folk clubs using the name Taj Mahal, formed a band in L.A. called the Rising Suns, featuring a guitar player named Ryland P. Cooter, and got a deal with Columbia.
Candy man, been in gone, been in gone, been in gone.
Perry Miller, who called himself Jesse Colin Young, remembered Young Blood, the record he'd made that John Sebastian had played on, and formed the Young Bloods, a band to record his rocked-up folk material.
Well!
Before long, even Joan Baez was taking a stab at something resembling rock and roll. Pardon me if I don't play you any. As for the band that had started it all, it fell victim to the counterculture it had helped set in motion. After 11 Spoonful show in Berkeley, Zalianowski and bassist Steve Boone were arrested for pot and made a deal to get out of it. They set up the guy who'd gotten it for them. They probably thought nobody would ever know, but it was 1967, and the underground press blazoned the story from coast to coast. Not even the Teeny Boppers would touch them, and Yanofsky was forced out of the group. Then John Sebastian left, and by 1968, the Lovin' Spoonful, like most of the rock folk bands, and the McDougal Street scene itself, was history.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, the Rolling Stone history of rock and roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle.
Didn't wanna have to do it. Didn't wanna have to break your heart. Didn't wanna have to do it. I kept a hoping from the very start, but you kept on a trying, and I knew that you'd end up crying, and I knew I didn't wanna have to do it.
This is Fresh Air.